morning. Welcome to the August 23rd meeting of the Eby's Landing National Historic Reserve Historic Preservation Commission. The meeting is called to order at 10:02. I am Commissioner Sherry Carlson. We will start with roll call. Will each commissioner please state their name for the record?
Christy Lovelady.
Marshall Bronson.
Stig Carlson.
Bob Clay.
Ben Lovejoy.
Ronald Vanek.
An agenda was published and provided to the commission in advance of this meeting. Does staff have any changes to that agenda? No changes. Does any commissioner wish to propose changes? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimously. The agenda packet included minutes from the meeting of July 26th. I ask the commission to take a moment to review them. Staff, applicants, and audience members, please speak into a microphone so that your comments can be preserved. These hearings will be held in accordance with the land use procedures required by the town, county, and the state of Washington. The Historic Preservation Commission. The commission's role is to determine on behalf of the town or county whether a development proposal is consistent with the Eby's Landing National Historical Reserve Design Guidelines and the Secretary of the Interior Standards for Rehabilitation as applicable. If determined consistent, the commission will grant or will recommend the granting of the certificate of appropriateness, which may include conditions to modify the proposal as the basis for finding consistency. The commission's determination is based on the information provided in the application, staff's analysis and consistency with the design guidelines, and other information presented to the commission through the hearing process. All testimony and evidence presented to the commission should address applicable design guidelines of the Secretary of Interior standards or provide contextual information through which consistency or lack of consistency can be understood. Prior to the meeting, staff has provided the commission with the applications and staff's analysis of the items before us today. The hearing process will start with a presentation by staff, followed by questions to staff from the commission. The applicant will then have the opportunity to augment, clarify, or rebut staff's comments and to respond to questions raised by the commission. After the applicant's comments, interested parties may address the commission regarding compliance with the guidelines and standards. Please be aware that you must sign the audience comment sheet or request to be a party of record to have standing for appeal. Any proponent, opponent, or other party interested in a land use matter to be heard by the Historic Preservation Commission may challenge the appearance of fairness of any commissioner to participate in such hearing and decision. Such challenge must state facts relied upon by the party relating to the commissioner's bias, prejudgment, personal interest, or other facts from which the party has concluded that the commissioner will not make a decision in an impartial manner. Failure to raise a challenge now would preclude an appeal based on that issue. Does any commissioner wish to declare conflict based on personal interest or bias or to disclose any ex parte communication or a site visit? Does any member of the public wish to challenge a commissioner's impartiality? Hearing none, we shall proceed. I now open the hearing for file number COA 103-18, Cobblestone Cottages, 306 Main.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, commissioners. The application before you today is not working.
Triple A.
Oh, thank you. Pardon the interruption. So this is the site is identified on the slide. It is on South Main, which is an area that we've had, I believe, only one application in the last few years. It's an interesting area of the town in that it has a something. Well, we could call it a hodgepodge of zoning and land use that has developed evidently somewhat organically. There's less segregation of land uses than is typically seen in a zoned environment. This site received a contract rezone from commercial to multifamily in 1989. With the expectation of constructing a multifamily development on it. In 2002, the four unit building was constructed as phase one of that, and then nothing has happened until now, and a new owner is proposing to complete it. This slide shows the site. We don't have a pointer. So the site is outlined in red. You can see the four-unit structure. To the west is a storage complex of storage buildings, and then to the south are more storage buildings in service to a commercial use. Along the frontage, the South Main frontage, we have single-family structures, one of which is used in commercial use, and then across the street we have across Main we have the Taiyi Motel and restaurant. We have Prairie Center grocery store to the south. So it's quite an interesting combination of land uses in the immediate vicinity. Next slide, please. So, being in the reserve, we of course have a number of designated historic structures in the vicinity. Only one is within 100 feet of the development site, and that's the Chapman Rental House. However, you can see there are a number of others that are in the vicinity. Next slide. So this is a site plan. You'll note that it is to fit it on the slide, it is turned 90 degrees, so north is to your right. The building in front, again, is the existing four-unit multifamily structure. Thank you. Still not working. The proposed units are outlined in red. Each is three units, and they face each other internal to the site. The short end is 36 feet, and that is oriented toward the street, reducing the overall appearance of massing from public areas. The access will be through an existing paved access that was designed for for eventual continuation for access to the rear of the site. There are, with these two triplexes, there will be 10 units on the site, which maximizes the zoned, the zoning allowance for development, for residential development. This area is, I believe, 58 feet wide. And within the last several years, there was a boundary line adjustment that moved this portion of the former site to this property. So it has created this long, narrow area that is not particularly developable just by virtue of its width. Again, the development capacity is maximized in terms of residential units, though. You'll note that the access is through a proposed paved driveway going up to each of the three single bay garages. The applicant proposes that this will be the pedestrian as well as the vehicular access to the buildings. There is an existing concrete walkway that was constructed with the original phase that extends around the back of the building, and this will relate to one of the proposed conditions of approval. So this is the front facade, which will again be facing north and south, internal to the site, as shown in your packet. Now the application or this design has been constructed in essentially the same form as proposed in Oak Harbor, so we have an actual photo of what it will look like. There are some minor differences. The shingles under the gables are proposed for consistency with the existing building, which I will show you, the existing fourplex. And it looks like there is an implied corner board there that does not exist here. There's a small bit of stonework that's proposed around each of the posts, and this also is for consistency with the existing building. The proposed materials are composition roofing, cement fiber siding. The windows are sliders, appear to be sliders. This is the rear and side. I've only shown one side elevation as they are mirror images of each other. So it's about 72 feet total length on the front and rear. The rear is not particularly modulated except for windows, except that at about a third of the way along, there is a change in wall plane of 3 to 4 feet. So that will break up some of the continuous wall mass. So this is a couple of shots of the front of the building, the existing building. And it is one story, but it has a fairly good, fairly steep roof line, and so it is the total height is about a story and a half. It's a little hard to see, but there under the gables here are the shingles, and again the stone on the columns. The windows appear to be hung windows, as opposed to the sliders on the proposal. There's a heavier lintel on top and sills on these windows, and that relates to one of the recommendations in the staff report. So this is on the north side. Here again is the fourplex. This will be the access way, and there is an RV there, or a trailer. This is the approximate location of the northern unit. They will be set back 120 feet approximately from the right-of-way, so they will be past the first tier along Main Street, very clearly past that. And then this is on the south side. This is this driveway parking area relates to the Chapman House, and the boat is on the boat is on the Chapman House property, so the southern unit will be in back of where you see the boat there. And then this structure is part of the storage complex on the west side. Looking down Main Street from the site, this is again the Chapman House. This is, the name is escaping me now, this is another designated historic structure. This is currently in commercial use, and then we have Prairie Center on the end. Looking the other way, this is the single family home that's immediately adjacent to the north. It is generally one story, except that it has a two-story addition on the rear. This is again the accessway that will serve the two proposed triplexes. It is also used by, and there's an easement that allows use by this house as well. So this is a view from the rear looking south. So it's to give you a little sense of the scale of adjacent structures. This is one of the storage structures. These are storage structures for lumbermen's supply. And then it's a little hard to see in this, but this is Prairie Center. This is the Prairie Center parking area. And then in back across Southwest Terry Road is the school district building. And my apologies again for the difficulty to discern what's in the photo, but this is the Newberry House across the street, across Main Street. And then this is the other single family home adjacent across Main Street. It's not a designated resource. This is a view looking from the location approximately of the southern triplex, looking northeast. So this is the rear side of the fourplex. This will be the way the access comes in that will curve west there. This is looking up the accessway into the rear. So this is where the one unit will go, the one structure will go, and the other structure will go here, approximately adjacent to the storage building. So the applicable guidelines HPC has not reviewed, to my knowledge, reviewed a multifamily development in recent years. So these may be somewhat new, less familiar guidelines. There's a lot of them relate fairly closely to the single family ones because of the emphasis on context. So context to fit with surrounding buildings in terms of material, appearance of scale, roof line, window type. Those are all the same for multifamily. And in staff's view, the application is generally consistent with this, with the contextual fit guidelines. With the understanding that a multifamily structure is going to be more massive than a single family structure, there is a guideline that directs minimizing the appearance of massing, and to that end, the orientation of these structures are with, again, the short end toward the road so that there isn't the appearance of massing from public areas, and to create a human scale particularly on the front side, where with the entries, the front of each building, there are a number of elements that break up the building and create entries that are at a human scale. The materials are consistent with surrounding development and with the guidelines. A hip or gable roof, like single family homes, hip or gable roofs are directed, and this will have a gable roof. Similar window types. Now, as noted, the existing fourplex has hung windows, and sliders are proposed for the triplexes on the front. They are generally they are vertically oriented. On the rear, there are picture windows or more horizontal windows. Looking around the neighborhood, there are quite a variety, there's quite a variety of window types and window shapes. There is not a real character of window that would necessarily, that would direct this project. There could be, staff has not proposed a recommendation, or recommended a condition rather, to make the windows consistent with the front building. They will be removed, they will not be, the detail on the window will not be easy, particularly easy to discern from the street, but staff is recommending recommending a recommendation rather than a condition that the windows, that the window trim match the front with sills and lintels. Finally, this does relate to a recommended condition. The guidelines direct that there should be pedestrian facilities for pedestrian circulation throughout the site. Currently, as proposed, the application would have pedestrians using the vehicular access. It's not going to be a heavily traveled road, and staff understands that the applicant may wish to argue against this recommended condition. There are, so staff recommendation will be to extend the well, I'll get to it in a moment. I have another slide showing where those sidewalks would, where staff suggests those sidewalks would go. So staff does recommend granting of a certificate of appropriateness with two conditions. One would be to extend sidewalks to the front doors of each unit from the existing sidewalk that goes around the back of the current fourplex, and then the standard standard condition of screening all outdoor trash areas and mechanical equipment. Staff does have several recommendations for recommendations to the applicant. One would be to follow the color guideline, which directs darker colors for accents and trim to minimize the appearance of massing. Second would be to match the trim on the existing house, and third would be to plant some trees where it would have the opportunity, they would have the opportunity to do a little softening of one of the facades. So this is going to be probably the best public view of either of them, and this will be through the parking lot of the Chapman House. There is a 6-foot fence, cedar fence there, which will block a portion of it, but this will appear above that. So staff's recommendation would be for several trees in this area. So this is again the existing sidewalk. Staff recommends a condition that be extended along each side to the front doors. And that concludes staff's presentation.
I have some questions for some officers.
Yes,
I think first.
Excellent. You may have questions.
Yes, I do. I have some burning questions. Sorry, burning head. I'm excited about the potential for a mixed use node in this area, and I from a planning background, there's a lot that appeals to me with this proposal. However, I had some concerns too. Primarily, when you do intensify density, if you don't have a designated recreation component with that, the community suffers. And as the staff report indicated, it was a little bit vague in the guidelines as to how we achieve that. But unless I'm missing something, and the figure's a little small, it doesn't look like we've taken that extra step, because here we have dwelling units, quite a lot of them packed together, which fundamentally I don't have a problem with if it's done correctly and they're going in that direction. But you don't have any yards for kids to recreate, or you don't have any places for people to go to get out of their structure. And people will, whether they have recreation or not. And if they don't have a designated recreation component, like a linkage to a trail, like a top lot if this is meant for families, then the community ends up in trouble. I mean, kids can go off in different directions, do graffiti, but they don't have an outlet. And this is people packed in a smaller area without backyards. We need to think in those terms, and I don't know if it's really the purview of this group, but when you read item number 19, a minimum of 300 square feet of recreation area, which, if I did my math correctly, it's six units or?
Six units.
Six units, so 1,800 square feet. Could you clarify where that might be? Because if it's not in the plans and 5 years goes by and you want to do something else, a lot line adjustment or rezone, that area that here that's kind of undefined gets lost.
Good question. So each unit will have a deck. It's not necessarily particularly private, but each one will have an outdoor deck. Under current zoning, the area of the site could not be reduced by more than about 100 square feet because it requires 4,000 square feet of lot area per unit. It's currently just over 40,000 square feet, which means that it is at maximum density, as I noted, and any reduction in lot area would make it non-conforming, so that could not be approved. Further, this area will be essentially cut off from access when this building is created, from vehicular access. And so the likelihood of this developing as in any commercial, residential, or use that's not directly associated with the residential units is very, very slim. I'm not sure how that would occur because there is not access to it. That said, this is a fairly significant area for a multifamily development for outdoor recreation. And granted, no specific use of that has been determined, but there are potential options, gardens for pea patches, whatever, for the use of the owners. So, yes, they haven't constructed any particular, or they haven't proposed any particular type of recreational facility.
Is that a part of the entitlement process that we don't see?
No.
Okay.
There is
so
no specific
an entitlement
requirement
being asked just for this map.
Correct. That's correct.
Coming from a planning background, that doesn't say that anything will be a recreational component in my mind. The patios I get, and that's important, so I don't want to knock that, but that becomes a default sand lot. And maybe you can clarify for us the recreational outlets that are maybe in the vicinity, and perhaps it's just linking into those in a meaningful way.
So in terms of a direct, for instance, a pedestrian linkage, the only way off this site, there is, I think in the application it showed photos of the surrounding area, and it's fenced around it. So really there is no way off except via South Main. There are for other recreational facilities, there are the school district facilities easily within a quarter mile. Athletic baseball fields and other school facilities, and then the trail system throughout EBS, throughout the reserve, would be accessible as it would be to anyone else within the reserve. But I guess those would be the available recreational facilities.
Maybe one more rhetorical question: are we really addressing item number 19?
So let me refresh my memory.
that's a minimum of 300 square feet.
Of recreation area, so that is clearly open to the commission's interpretation. Staff's interpretation was area available for recreation, not 300 square feet of necessarily developed recreational facilities. So, but that is clearly something something that you can interpret and condition if you feel that is appropriate. The applicant is here and may wish to provide commitments or concepts for how that area that the dog leg could be used for recreational use by the residents.
Okay, then I would say I would agree with some of your proposed recommendations too. I think those were all well.
Quick question, clarification on the lot coverage on this. You said that it's currently maxed out based on 40,000 square feet lot. So, no additional construction can occur on the lot. Does that 40,000 square feet include that dog park?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so it could not be developed.
Correct.
Unless for zoning code changes.
Correct.
Okay. So it has to remain open space and part of this lot.
Accessory to these residential uses, yes.
Okay.
Could it not be that your walkways, that you don't want children running down roadways that you would have on the west side, which is the top of the chart there, a walkway from the end of that stub road along the edge, which would give them access to that area in the back for a playground, or I mean, not an organized playground, but at least the kids are going to run around, because there is no access to that place now. You can't get behind this building and get up into there, but you could go from the end of that stub and go around that way and have access to that, and therefore have that whole place open.
Correct. That could be a condition. Staff did consider that. My feeling was that access there, that's 15 feet, I believe, to the property line, and that there was nothing to preclude someone from going back there with or without an organized without a specific trail. That's why it's not a condition, but that was a consideration.
One more question regarding the requirements for open space, recreation space. I totally agree with Christy in terms of best practices, in terms of zoning, but also want to make sure that we are not creating any conditions for the project that aren't related directly to our guidelines.
Right.
Other than the minimum of 300 square feet of recreation space per unit, are there other guidelines? I'm not familiar with any that require designated recreation space.
Not that I have encountered. I do not believe there are for the specific type. For instance, a requirement for organized athletic field or any particular facility, a tot lot or anything else. I do not believe there is a specific direction on that.
I'd like to have a little clarification on the site. It says located in review area one, and the Chapman House is on the list of historic buildings. How is that being addressed as far as placement of these units?
It's my understanding that that new development, new construction in relation to existing historic resources is that the guidance is not to block public views of them. In this case, the views would have to be from. The only views that could potentially be blocked would be from the storage units. So the typical public viewpoints along rights-of-way, for instance, would be unencumbered by this proposal.
Thank you.
You made some comments about window edging and so on. If you look at the end view of the building, it's just a question of personal preference, I guess. Would it not be more in keeping with the whole town thing to have double hung rather than slider windows? At that scale.
The guidelines, talk about divided lights in terms of the guideline for that refers to hung windows. The guidelines talk about consistency in proportion and pattern with surrounding development, but don't specifically require that a form. I believe that's a defect in the guidelines, but I have not found anything that could require it. I think if anything, it would be for consistency with the existing building on the same site that is part of the same complex, which does appear to have hung windows. I think that is the strongest argument for replicating them on the back units. Now, that said, this building will be 120 feet back, and the except for this end will not be particularly visible. We do have many examples of square windows in historic structures and non-historic structures in the town, so double side by side square windows. So I would leave that to the commission to determine whether a requirement for hung windows be an appropriate modification to or addition to staff's recommendations.
I had a second question. If you look at the current parking at Cobblestone Cottage takes up a considerable amount of the driveway that's there. How do you allow for the complete access back and forth, and also for the parking for the?
And that's a good question. That will that's a question that staff has raised with the applicant as well. So there will be one modification to the site plan as shown here, and that is in the works. According to the town's parking standards, these were proposed as what's called tandem parking, so one in the garage and one behind it to meet the guidelines. So the staff has now done an interpretation that the tandem parking is not allowed, is not a is not an option. So they will be putting in additional parking, three additional parking spaces back here. What's proposed will be probably grasscrete or something similar, some non-paved surface, potentially pavers, something that's permeable, that's permeable. The question has also been raised as parking for this. There is one garage here, and currently there is parking along this area. So the applicant has proposed that angled parking be more formally incorporated along between the sidewalk and the access way here to serve this building. Does that address your question?
It does address it. What is the specific you were talking about up at the stub end there, that you were talking about increasing to the parking area. So that would that still be reduced by 15 feet from the edge, so that you're sort of filling that whole block up there?
It would, according to town code, it would not need to be, it would not need to meet the same setbacks as a structure. It could be built to the property line. And in some cases, that may be, there may be design concerns. In this case, across the fence is a paved storage facility.
But that also really makes that, in fact, a significant entrance for children to go on around and to get into that area, which we're talking to the north, which is otherwise unusable. All right, that's just a comment. Thank you.
And I think if I'm understanding your point, the concern is that it would block access on the north, on the west side to the rear.
I don't really think so. I think it would encourage them.
Oh, okay.
To go around. So you have them running around, but you know, it's the person who's going to be living in that end unit up there, but they, you know, have an objection to a considerable amount of traffic running back and forth there.
In all likelihood, it will not be more than the three spaces that they will need to add to achieve the minimum parking requirement.
This is kind of the gray area where you go from historical commission to planning commission. It's a tough question to answer.
It is, and
partly marked by, I think, in a vague sort of way, and then it's more in the realm of planning commission and planning department. But it is a little bit. It begs the question of what goes on there and how kids move through this development.
Yep. Yes, it does.
Yeah, I see that you would like to speak. We need to close this portion of questions with the staff, and then we will open it up for the owner to speak, and then all the comments after that. So yeah, there are definitely the opportunity. Any other questions of staff? Is the owner or owner's representative here?
The owner?
Would you like to address the commission?
Yeah, I could, please. Thank you for giving me the chance to appear.
Sure. Make sure you sign in there. Thanks.
I'll briefly introduce myself and then comment on the conditions of my appropriateness. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. My name is Wayne Tilson, T-I-L-S-O-N, and I have a long history of association with Whidbey Island and with the EB Reserve here. Family built my house, which we still use and we're actively using on the south part of Whidbey about 50 years ago. And all of our family were raised here. Very frequent visits to the EB historic sites, also the island. I am an emergency physician in Spokane, and just in the process of retiring and moving to the island here, settling here. And I purchased earlier this year from John and Maxine Varga, the current fourplex and the property. And they had a dream that it could be developed into an additional series of facilities, particularly six. Although the zoning has changed, my dream was to, or my intent was to continue with their same dream. To put six facilities there to provide additional housing for the city, and to do so in a way that would fit the specific guidelines, city requirements, but also to fit in the, to accommodate people and families, to the appropriate development in line with the EB Reserve requirements and the long-term goals for the city. This is my first development project. I have a number of rental properties, my first development project. So I thank Owen particularly and the Vargas themselves for walking me through and helping me through this whole process step by step, and understanding the specifics of the planning process, the specifics of the city and state requirements, and also the Vargas involved for what's appropriate, what type of development would fit best here, what types of designs might fit into the requirements here and fit into the town long-term goals. So that's kind of what's guided me in terms of trying to come up with a design that would fit here, would be appropriate, and would help the town, particularly as it's growing, and I would pick your affinity, having supported the bond issue and other things for the hospital. If it would be helpful to support that as it's growing and that community is growing as well. Try to find attractive housing here that would pull in families was our goal. And if I might, I might speak to the specific, if it's appropriate now to speak to the two conditions, if it's appropriate time to speak to those. There are two conditions. Condition number two, as far as shielding utility items and trash, I certainly wanted to do that already, so that's not a change. I certainly agree with that condition. It's our intent to, we may have some propane gas on several of the units in the back. We'll be shielding those, and any waste receptacles or things will be shielded as well. We'll landscape around those. It's our intent to use something like a wood fence or something that would be appropriate to fit with this design and not a steel fence or a chain link type, so we can hide that and keep it from view. On the first condition, as far as the pedestrian traffic, I would like to ask that that condition be removed or not approved. To be able to speak to that. I understand the need for pedestrian access in this area, but I think this particular area is kind of a locked area, kind of almost like a cul-de-sac dead end. It doesn't really have pedestrian traffic off the main street. It doesn't connect to anything else. It's fenced all the way around it, and it doesn't lead anywhere. So I think the only pedestrian traffic on the area will be from the actual residents that are there, particularly the ones in the new proposed units. So I think that'll be very low. As Owen stated, there is already a pedestrian walkway along the north side of the existing process facility, the fourplex, and then it continues along the west side, going down all the way down to the end. And it's right up against the proposed project, so I can easily reach that and walk, I believe. The question I have about this is that the proposal to put it right from doorway to doorway, as we're doing on both of the far sides, right in front of the project, has some issues for me in terms of the aesthetics. Our intent is to landscape that with flower beds and small shrubs, possibly some trees on the front of that, right up against the front, so that it somewhat hides the cement, be part of the porch, and even a step if needed, that will be covered more aesthetically. If we put a path there, it'll pull that away from the existing building, then creating kind of another visibility for that foundation things that we didn't want to have, or would like to preserve the, we'd like to propose more of a landscaping there that would be, I think, more aesthetic. Second issue would be that walking, providing that path there may have an effect on privacy of the individuals there. If the pathway is to walk in front of everybody's front windows or front porches, by design, I think we try to keep it away from that so people have a bit more privacy, so they're walking out into the other, the driveway and come that way, join up with the path. And the third concern I had was on impervious services. We designed it so that we had the least amount of impervious service, so that we could make sure that we can drain water and choose whenever we could with impervious surfaces. Now this may, depending on how the design is put in on the walkway, may have to be done with pavement or something that might be impervious, which we wanted to stay away from. So those are the concerns I had with that. As far as the raised question, just to answer ahead of time on the recreation area, it's definitely my intent, and our intent was to attract families here, and the intent was to use the back dog leg there for place sets of recreation areas for families, as well as gardens or something in that nature, but didn't have any specific things we could propose at this time. But that was certainly our intent. That's what we'd like to do. That's what I'd like to do. That's all I have for statements. I don't know if it's the time to be questioned or if I stop and let other people comment.
Yeah, I think that we'll have, if you could just stay for a minute.
Yes, staff, please.
Questions.
I have one question, and this concerns, we're discussing about the mass of the building. And I know on the existing fourplex in front, each of those units are painted a different color. And and I know why that happened, was to break it up. Would you intend to do the same thing on these triplexes? Although it's not a requirement, but I just wondered.
Yes, not quite as much as theirs. The way this, the front of it, I don't know, I wonder if you can show the front of the proposal. So, if I might step over here briefly and just point this. We were going to use kind of grays and light browns along here, kind of more neutral colors, and just separate these two units out on the end a little bit, so slightly different colors on the different shape. But not quite as extensive, more like this. Okay, not as extensive as the brighter colors that are on the present fourplex.
Thank you.
I didn't know if we've talked with you specifically about, are you amenable to staff's recommendation to have hung windows similar to the front complex?
Yes, so I'm not sure exactly I can agree to that. I have to go back to the architect and see what that means or how it can be done, so I don't know that I can. I'm amenable to it, I just don't know that I would accept requiring that at this point.
Staff actually had three recommendations on there. Two that you addressed the colors already. The trim, the matching of the trim, to the existing building, is that something?
We're going to try to be as close as we can to that. So no problems with the number one. And two, as I say, I don't quite know. I have to check with the architect. It would certainly be, we'll try to do this. There's something that I can guarantee that. Yes. The third one, planting trees, was already something we wanted to do really all the way around the area, particularly as you look from the street. That area have some trees and kind of soften that whole effect, but also all through the whole complex. And we're looking at that also on the dog legs, so we created more of a, instead of just fences and so on around out there, they'd have more of a kind of a forest type look, not going quite that far, but some kind of more greenery, shrubbery, maybe trees in that area as well. Does that speak to the...
I guess I would make one comment regarding I understand the concern about putting us up against the house and creating privacy issues and encroaching on landscaping. But I also do think it's important, particularly with a landlocked site with this and one that may have children living there, that there is a clear, safe way for them to get from their homes out to the street, to the school, to other facilities nearby, as well as to this area that talked about developing this recreation area towards the back. And I just wonder if there isn't a way to try to incorporate some of that, the pathways without encroaching on the privacy of the facilities. Maybe it's a path that's adjacent to the roadway, or maybe there's a path along the west side that gets the kids from the main entrances of the building, particularly the ones on the south side. Space in a safe way that they can avoid having to walk on the driveway or roads.
I certainly share your concern, certainly our intent to be able to come to that is that particular proposed way it's done, I think, is going to be problematic for us. That's why I was offering some different thoughts about that.
I would concur with Stig. There are a lot of applications that you can use that would create a pathway, and there are semi-permeable applications that are out on the market today. My concern, also this comes from my planning background, if you don't do it, it will happen anyway, and it will look a lot worse. And your gardens, the kids will run all over the gardens. If there's not a distinctive area for them to matriculate through the development, and maybe staff can guide this body, how far can we recommend? I know the structure, I think we've laid it out fairly clearly, some of the recommended components, the pathway. I would agree with staff, I am very much supportive of the pathway concept. If staff can work with the applicant on exactly how that looks, but I think it needs to be there. but how far can we go to recommending a designated method vehicle to get the residents back into that default sandlot? I don't mean to be rude, but I think it will become a default sandlot. Whether you put a path through there or not, kids do it. We all did it. And we look for a place to recreate, whether we designate it or not. But is it this commission's purview to go that far? That's my question that I have when I was reading the proposal.
And you're specifically referring to the access along the west side to the bath?
Yeah, continuing this up in some way that allows, because the kids on the south side will make a path of some sort to that dog lake. People, kids, teenagers, that will just be an attractive playground or recreational spot immediately adjacent to their property.
And I believe that's Dr. Tilson's intent is for that to occur. So I guess the question is, so the guideline talks about providing access throughout the site and to common open spaces within and adjacent to the development. So this is a common open space within the development.
I consider the dog leg actually part of the development.
Oh, certainly.
Even if it doesn't have buildings on it.
No, very clearly, very clearly. It would depend on your interpretation of provide access. So there's nothing precluding access, and if providing could mean not impeding it or designating a specific route. I agree that where that like water will find its own level, pedestrians will find the shortest route between two points. So it will occur whether there is benefit probably to the larger community to have that, or the local or the on-site community of residents to have that formally designated and established as a gravel trail, concrete trail, you know, something or not, I think is a question for the commission in terms of the specificity that needs to occur with that for determination of compliance with the design guidelines.
Okay. I think Dr. Tilson, am I pronouncing correctly?
Yes, Tilson.
And I don't mean this in any disrespect, but just my experience in planning is that if you don't provide it, it gets created, and it may get creative in a default way that detracts from what you're trying to do here. I get what you're trying to do, and I don't have any problem with it. But you'll start having these dirt walking paths, and you'll have many of them. It just depends on who wants to go this way versus this way. So having a designated walking path of some sort, and actually an intent, it doesn't have to be well designed, but an intent that is the recreational area. I know your intent is well meant, but unless it's on a design plan or in a list of conditions of approval, those intents really fall to the wayside as time progresses and money gets tight. So the only way to secure that intent is through conditions of approval and or putting it in the site plan. I appreciate your willingness to work with us, and well, thanks for clarifying how far we can go, because I think that informs maybe a motion.
Sidewalks are set, and you have a house back 10 or 15 feet. So and the children walk across there, they walk across the end of driveways. You've got no traffic out here. You've got no large vehicles running back and forth, making deliveries. And I think children walking up the roadway up in the town in the center is going to be perfectly satisfactory. I would not think that the great benefit would be achieved in any way by running a walkway connecting front porches to the center of the activity. I think that that's I really am in favor of some type of designated path in some way or other back to that residence, to that play area. But I think that the rest of it can filter out with only that short number of houses. That was my opinion.
Are there any more questions for the applicants? Do you have any questions?
No, thanks very much. I appreciate your suggestions. Thank you.
Thanks. Is there anyone else from the general public who wishes to be heard on this? Would you please step up? Thanks.
My name is Marcia Postma. I am the adjacent homeowner, single family dwelling. Anyway, I just have two quick comments because we were commenting about the egress and ingress or the driveway and the parking, and et cetera. And just want to make one quick comment that is already rather difficult getting in and out of my space. Not too long ago, I was parked clearly on my property right in front of my garage sideways, in clear view, and one of the residents of those existing property ran into the back of my car or ran into the side of my car with her vehicle. So I just wanted to make a point that it is already rather difficult getting in and out, and parking is kind of an issue. And another quick comment on the dog leg there, talking about a children's play area. I believe on the far north end, that area is not totally fenced in currently. And I don't know if there's plans to make that so it's a safer area for kids, because I have seen teenagers come through that back of that property. And that's just a comment. And on the other side, on the side of the Chapman house, which is like two houses over, there is a large wooded area with thickets. And so if there's, I was just concerned about children getting into that area and not being very safe. Anyway, those are my two comments. Thank you.
Which house are you in that had the problem with the car?
The one right next door here, where the North Arrow is.
Currently, and as proposed, it's an interesting circumstance in that it is a requirement, it is the town's responsibility to ensure that adequate parking, consistent with the parking standards, is provided. In addition, that entryway is available to emergency vehicles as required. We're drifting off into something a little outside design standards, but that is something that will need to be addressed. And we, as noted, we haven't seen the parking plan for. We've had a description of how parking will occur for the existing building. But we haven't seen it drawn in a scalable fashion so that we can determine that 20 foot clear access for emergency vehicles is met, and that the parking standards are being complied with. That said, on private property, it's a little more challenging to specifically enforce where people can and will park. We have, even with fire lanes on private property, it can be challenging to enforce that. So it can be painted on the ground as indications of the same as fog lines on a street within which parking should not occur. But the enforcement aspect is always problematic, and I suspect that there may be problems down the road that will be more civil issues between property owners and tenants than the town's issue. But initially, we do need to make sure that there is adequate room for vehicles to vehicular ingress and egress and parking, and that they are mutually exclusive. So that will be something we'll address through the site plan review process. But I don't have anything more specific to tell you about it until we receive a diagram of where all the parking will occur.
Anybody else from the public wish to be heard?
Hi, I'm Maxine Varga, and we live in one of the units, in the front unit number one of the existing building, and had those built and went by all of the town guidelines at the time and the requirements of the historical looks and so forth. I just wanted to say that I'm in favor of the buildings that will be built in the back that will be shielding the storage buildings from view from walking down the street, because I think it's a much better look. In the house that's next door, we also had that built, and there is a mixture of sliders and single hung windows in that. And from the end of those buildings that are proposed, that might also could be a mixture so that it would be what you would like to see. And that's all I had to say.
With respect to the walkway, I think perhaps part of that recommendation would be to, or a condition would be to recommend that staff work with the applicant on a somewhat less intrusive walkway, but a walkway nonetheless that uses semi-permeable product, and also defines how they get residents to the recreation dog lake. Recommendation would recognize that dog leg is the recreational component required by the guidelines. Satisfies the recreational component. And we'll leave it up to staff and the applicant to look at how that occurs.
So, are you making a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Second that.
Okay. And then discussion on that, I just want to make sure that clear,
right, it was kind
in terms of the motion. So your recommended motion includes conditions and recommendations
and the
made by staff. Yeah. With an enhanced condition on the walkway?
Yeah, semi-permeable walkway.
Okay.
Maybe the staff and the applicant can work together on a less massive design, but nonetheless walkway as proposed by staff.
Okay.
And that walkway be extended, or a vehicle of that walkway be extended to allow access by the residents to the recreational dog lake. And lastly, that dog lake be recognized as the recreational satisfaction of the guidelines as evidenced in item 19. I'm not feeling like we have to go into the design of that here, because that's not appropriate.
Is everyone clear then on what we're voting on? All right. So it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, everyone. So that closes the public hearings. I understand that we are here for some additional training.
Yes, and I'm going to be moving everyone's seat down here.
Can you give it to white people? Thank you. Is that your first?
I don't do that.